There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
I'll ask you to turn to the 68th Psalm for the scripture reading this morning. Psalm 68, and then we'll be going to other psalms and then over in the New Testament, but we'll be beginning in Psalm chapter 68, verse 34. Verse 34 reads, "Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and His strength is in the clouds. O God, Thou art terrible out of Thy holy places. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. Blessed be God." I was sitting in the truck earlier this week before the cool air came through, so I had the air conditioner cranked up pretty high. I'm not one of those that switches the car off every time you come to a stop at an intersection. When it's 90-something degrees with 100% humidity, I'm going to turn the air conditioner on for a few minutes if I'm in the vehicle. And I was sitting there cooling off, and I reached over and got my Bible, and I was flipping through the Psalms. And I landed on the 69th Psalm, which is one of my favorites. Love to read it. It's wonderful for any situation that you find yourself in. But for some reason, I dropped up two verses into the last two verses of the 68th Psalm. And I saw there that first word, "Ascribe ye strength unto God." In other words, give God His due. Assign God what is His, because He's God and He's worthy. And then I looked in that 35th verse and I saw that word "terrible." And I thought, oh Lord, I wonder how many people get caught up on that word. That word has different definitions. When we say the word "terrible," the first thing that you and I think of is something that's bad, something that's awful. I've heard food described as terrible. I've heard, well, I had a terrible time on my vacation. It has a bad meaning. But it has other definitions. It also means awe-inspiring or awesome. In other words, those two verses tell us that we should give God credit for the awesomeness of His power and His glory and His excellency. And sometimes I think we fail to do that. Well, we know He's God, preacher. Yes, but do we give God the credit that God is due? And as I was sitting in the truck and I was thinking and my mind began to work along these lines, I questioned, well, how can mortal man, as puny and small as we are, actually begin to get any understanding of just how awesome God is because He's so far above us? And the Spirit came to me and He gave me a word. And the word was "scale." How many of you have ever put together model airplanes or cars or ships? Raise your hand. I hope I'm not the only one. Ladies, you may use scale as far as patterns go. The same size you'd use for an adult female, you wouldn't use for a dress for a little 4-year-old girl. You'd cut it to scale. Usually we scale things down. It's easier for us to understand God if we scale things up. To take what we know, what we see, what we recognize, and work up to God. Because we can't begin at God's level. We have no conception of God. We know He's there. We know He's all-powerful. But we just don't really understand how powerful God is. What's the biggest animal on the earth today? Somebody tell me. A what? A blue whale. Has anybody ever seen a blue whale? Not in the Pigeon River. We don't got them around here, do we, brother? There is something that we have down in the Knoxville Zoo that most everybody has seen either on television, in a picture, or if you went to the zoo. What's another large land animal? I should have said that. What's a land animal that we have? An elephant. That's a good-sized animal, isn't it? It's a big old something. Well, if you take that elephant and you compare it to a blue whale. A blue whale's tail, you know, it's got two fins that come off of it. Kind of makes a Y shape. Just one of those is called a fluke. The fluke of a blue whale is twice the size of an elephant. Gives you some idea just how big a blue whale is. They theorize there may be others deeper in the sea, creatures that are bigger, but they know the blue whale is the largest known animal on the earth today. If you were capable of taking 100 blue whales and putting them in a giant container, it would take thousands of those containers filled with these huge whales to fill up a hollowed out Mount Everest. Now, everybody knows Mount Everest is the largest mountain in the world, the biggest mountain on the face of the earth. Well, if you took 100 Mount Everest and stacked them on top of each other, that would just be a whisker on the face of the earth, on the size of the earth. The earth, relatively speaking, in our solar system, is a small something. You can take 1 million of our Earths and put inside our sun. That's why when we look up during the day, we can see that big ball glowing. That's where we get our light, our heat. That's how life survives on this planet, from the sun. But in the grand scheme of things, our sun is rather small. There are things called red supergiants. The closest one to us, the scientists have named Antares. It would take 50 million of our suns to fill up Antares. But in comparison to the galaxy, Antares is a small thing. There are billions of stars in our galaxy. All you have to do is go out, if you live in the country, on a nice clear summer night and look up and start counting. You can't do it. You can't do it. Our galaxy is a rather small galaxy. There are billions of galaxies in the universe. And yet with all those galaxies crammed into the universe is relatively an empty thing, because the distance from one galaxy to another galaxy is so large that the human mind can't comprehend it. The numbers reach such proportion. Believe it or not, they're even greater than our federal deficit. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. The Word of God tells us that the One who created all things, and yes, I'll use the word creation and I use the word one, the one being that created all of this, from you and I, to the elephant, to the blue whale, to Mount Everest, to the earth, to the sun, to Antares, the Milky Way, and the entire known universe, the one who created all things, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, said He spoke. He spoke, and these things came into existence. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, by the power of His Word, He sustains everything that He created. Blows your mind, doesn't it? It blows your mind to think of a being that speaks and everything comes into existence. It gives us a small idea of the grandeur and the glory and the awesome power of our God that you and I serve this morning. But if you'll go to Psalms 139, the Word of God tells us something that will blow your mind even more. The one that created everything, that hung the stars and the moon in the skies, that spoke in every life form that ever has existed or will exist, is there. And by the power of His spoken word, He sustains them to this day. Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. In those first few verses, 12 times, David uses the pronoun me. That God looked upon David, even though he was the king of Israel. But it amazed David that God would look at him and know everything about him. How much more so you and I, in the grand scheme of society in the United States of America this morning, you and I are nothing. We're nothing. We're average people. We're just normal, everyday Americans. But that same God that spoke and the stars began to burn, that same God that spoke and the creatures in the oceans came into being, that same God who spoke and directed the king of Israel's path, He knows you and I as well. Let's read it a different way. O Lord, Thou hast searched Dorothy and known Otha. Thou knowest Tony's down sitting and Sharon's uprising. Thou understandest Pat's thoughts afar off. Thou compassest Glenn's path and Betty's lying down, and art acquainted with all of Crystal's ways. For there is not a word in Madison's mouth, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset Clara behind and before, and Thou hast laid Thy hand upon Dolores. Everywhere you see the word me, put your name. Put your name. Puts a little bit more effect into it, doesn't it? Puts a little sharper hook into it. In other words, it puts a barb on the hook of God's Word, and it snags in your heart just a little bit deeper and just a little bit harder. He knowest your downsettings and your uprisings. When you sit down at lunch today, God will know when and where you sit down to lunch. The moment you stand up to leave the table, God knows. He knows how many calories you consumed. He knows how many grams of fat and carbohydrates you consumed. And He knows whether or not that was good or bad for your body. God knows. I'll have no idea how many calories I ate, how many grams of fat or carbohydrates that I consumed. All I'll know is I'm full. But God will know every minute detail. And He understands your thoughts and my thoughts afar off. If you're here this morning and you understand your own thoughts, raise your hand. I don't understand my own thoughts a lot of the time. There's no way I could understand yours. There's no way I can understand when I open the paper and I read some of the things that have gone on in just the past 3 or 4 days. How in the world could people do these things? Why in the world would you kill a couple that had taken in 16 or 17 handicapped children and were raising them? How could you go in and kill them for their money? I don't understand that. The fellow just yesterday that they arrested for killing six people in Alabama and Central Tennessee. I don't understand that. God understands even their thoughts, because nothing is beyond God. God doesn't approve. No, far from it. God does not approve. But God understands the thoughts that those that are wrapped up in addiction. That's how God can untangle their mind and straighten them out, Sister Dorothy. Those that are wrapped up in sin. God understands the thoughts in their mind, and that's why when we take our will and turn it over to God, that's how God can take that knotted up, tangled mess we've made with our lives, and He can untangle it. He can straighten out the knot. He can straighten out the mess that we've made out of our lives. We can't. And it's only when we come to the point and we acknowledge and realize, we can't fix it, God. I've made such a mess, I can't do anything else with it. And turn it over to Him, that He begins to unravel the problems of our lives. I probably know my wife better than anybody else in the world, and likewise her me. We spent the better part of every day of 12 years together. I can hear her voice, and I can know if something's wrong or if she's happy. Just a glance into her face, and I know whether she's happy, sad, or mad. And usually I'm thinking, Lord, what have I done? I can hear her breathing, and I know whether or not she's healthy or not by her breathing. As close as we are, and at times we can know what each other's thinking, what's going on in our minds just by looking at each other. There's times we'll pick up the phone and call each other at the exact same time of the day because we're on each other's mind. As close as we are, that's nothing compared with how close God is to her. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Which, as I was in the truck and I was thinking, begged the question, why? Why, Lord, would you look upon me and care what happened to me? Why would my downsittings and my uprisings, why would that concern you? You who has control over everything, you who controls the minds of the leaders of this world, you who has to make sure that the orbits of all the planets are in sync, you that has to have the sun come up and go down, all these things God controls continuously. And I can't even control my own appetite to keep my health where it needs to be according to the doctor. But the God of creation looks down upon each and every one of us and knows us intimately inside and out. The very thoughts in our mind, the words before they come out of our mouth. And I thought, why, God? Why? 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 Because there is nothing, nothing that we do for you in comparison to what you do for us. And as I asked the question, why, he said, Romans chapter 8, verse 35, son. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. In that 35th verse, we get our answer as to why. Paul says in that 35th verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory, hallelujah, to the name of God. God watches over us because He loves us. Because He loves us, Sister Dorothy. God cares what happens to us. Brother, sometimes it's hard to believe that God cares the things that I go through. Praise God, don't tell me, tell God. Don't tell your neighbor, tell God. Don't tell man, woman, boy, or girl. Talk to God about it. God will explain to you how much He loves you. When you open up His Word and you begin to say, God, I need You to show me, God will show you. And the first thing you'll think of is, oh, God, have mercy upon me. How could I ever doubt? Not only does God love you and I this morning, ladies, come to the piano, please. The Word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God just doesn't love His children. God doesn't just love the Christian. God doesn't just love Americans. God doesn't just love men. God just doesn't love Caucasians. God loves every single creature on the face of His planet because God created it. He spoke it into existence for a reason and for a purpose. And if you have a reason and a purpose for doing something, you have a vested interest in that thing that you created fulfilling the thing you created it for. God loves us. While we were yet dead in the trespasses of sin, God loved you and I. The only reason salvation came to us is because God loved us. He took on human form, went through the suffering, the pain, the humiliation, the degradation, the torture, hell, and death. That's love. That's love. I love you to death. I can say that I love you enough that I would die for you. But I don't love you enough to give one of my children for you. I'll be honest and upfront with you. I would do whatever I could to save any one of you. If it would take the last drop of my blood, I would give it. But I will not trade my child for you. I can't. My love for my child is greater than my love for you. God's wasn't. God's love for mankind was greater than the love He had for His only begotten Son. Just before we sing this morning, if you look at the 139th Psalm, the last two verses, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you reading along with me, I want you to close your eyes. Everybody within the sound of my voice, close your eyes. You can trust me, I'm going to give you God's Word just exactly as it is written. But as I read these words to yourself, I want you to repeat after me what I read. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Search me, O God. You who knows me better than anybody else, and if there be anything within me, if there be any sin, any transgression, any wrongdoing, any shortcoming, bring it to my attention, God. In other words, convict me. Show me where I need to do better. and then lead me. Take me by the hand and make me a better person, Father. As everyone stands, if God has shown you something this morning, I don't care who you are, how old you are, man, woman, boy, or girl, child of God for 50 years, I don't care. If God has shown you something this morning inside yourself that you didn't know or realize before, but God, because He knows you more intimately than anybody else, has shown you this morning, I beg with you, please, please, please address that issue this morning. Take care of it. Perfect place to do it is right here on the altar. Come and give it to God. Come and turn it over to God. That's the reason God gave us this message this morning. I've already done mine. On more than one occasion this past week, I've been on my face before God because God showed me a lot of things. When Brother Tim handed out his cards in his Sunday school class and he told us what to write on the front, just exactly what God has told me this past week. And I don't mind telling you what I put on the front of my card. What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to lose in my life to get closer to God? What I need to get rid of is me. Me. Less me, more God. If God has spoke to you this morning, come, let us pray for you as we all sing. We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast presentation. If you would like more information about the church or any additional podcast, please join us on the web at www.readtowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. That's spelled REIDTOWN, communitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you, and God bless.